Thank you for the privilege of knowing you. Thank you for the privilege of relationship. Thank you because we slept, we awake, for you sustained us. Thank you, Lord, because in you we live, in you we move, in you we have our being. Thank you because we are your offspring. Blessed be your name, Lord. Thank you for everyone that you have brought into the service here today. Thank you because not one person will leave here the same. We give you the praise and we give you the adoration. Be glorified, Lord, in Jesus' precious name. Go on ahead and let us wait with our hands to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. It is a day the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Give the Lord a bigger clap and another shout of praise. Still remain standing 1 minute. I was going to make us to dance very heatedly right now in appreciation of Pakistan. But the choir has made us so sober. And we'll dance it after we show the review and also tell you about the Pakistan. But if the only thing we can do now is just to wave the Lord and just say, Father, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Wave your hands and give him the praise. Give him the praise. Give him the praise. Give him the honor. Give him the adoration. We saw what only God could have done. Only God could do. We saw unprecedented manifestations of God's help and mercy and graces. We saw his mercy. We saw his grace. We saw from everything, every angle, we saw God at work. Wave your hands. We saw the possibilities of God. We saw how with God anything is possible under heaven. Wave your hands and give him the praise. Father, thank you. Father, thank you. Adonai, thank you. We are not ungrateful. We are very grateful. We are very grateful. We are very grateful. Now clap your hands, all you people. I see some of the young men here seated at the school section here. Any of your friends here seated, stand them up. This year, any of one among you seated, stand them up very rapidly. And just ensure you are not lousy for any reason in church. Go ahead and give the Lord a bigger clap and a shout of praise. Bigger, bigger clap and a louder shout of praise. Clap your hands, all ye people. Shout to the Lord in the voice of triumph. Hallelujah. Before you sit down, shake 7 hands around you and tell them, with God, all things are possible. With God, all things are possible. And give the Lord a praise. Please be seated. Father, thank you for your word this morning. Blessed be your name. Adoration to your name. Thank you again for your mercifulness and faithfulness. Breathe upon your word today in Jesus' precious name. Amen. This morning, I am going to literally make us go through more like a spiritual finance school before we come back to Pakistan. It's our month of financial dominion. And I'm going to be teaching and sharing some things that are hardly shared in church, but are very, very important concerning finances. I'd like you to know that the Bible is the best textbook on every subject under heaven. The Bible is the container of leadership, thoughts and realities, success and management principles, financial principles. If you read it well and God opens your eyes, you will see things in the Bible that will amaze you. On Wednesday, we looked at certain hindrances to financial dominion. It's a subject that I would like everyone to go through if you are not in the service. And I believe we had a very great service on Wednesday, drastic service that we had. The Lord bless you in Jesus' name. And so this moment, I am looking at secrets of resources, multiplication. Resources, bracket, you can put financial, multiplication. In the book of Genesis chapter 1 and in verse 28, and God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth, subdue it, and have dominion. Our objective this morning is to understand what to do to arrive at resources of financial multiplication. And God blessed them, and God said, be fruitful, multiply, and replenish the earth. And the end of it is dominion. Now, to arrive at dominion, there must first be multiplication. Multiply, and at the end, have dominion. To arrive at resources or financial dominion, we must first embrace multiplication. For anybody to become a commander of resources, he must multiply the resources. Now, just to refresh our minds, but why do we need financial dominion? Why do we need financial stability? Why is this necessary? I will tell you. Number one, financial dominion or stability helps the saint to serve God without the distraction of lack. I said that before, but I say it again. It helps the saint, the child of God, to serve God without the distraction of lack. Lack is a distraction. Scarcity is a distraction. Shortage is a distraction. Empty-handedness is a distraction. Number two, and we see that in Joel chapter 2, verse 26 and 27. We've seen that before. You see, and you shall eat in plenty and be satisfied, and praise the name of the Lord your God that has dealt wondrously with you, and my people shall never be ashamed. You shall eat in plenty and be satisfied. Then you can focus and praise God very well. You can focus and celebrate God very well, without the distraction of lack. There are people who are not sick. It's just that shortage. Number two, financial dominion stability helps the saint, helps us to truly love our neighbors or the less privileged like ourselves. To truly love our neighbors as ourselves. To truly love our neighbors or the less privileged like ourselves. You see the story in Luke chapter 10 verse 33. Where a man was coming from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves. And then some people were journeying, first a priest, then a Levite, then a Samaritan who came out down from his beast. Poured, bound the man's wounds and pouring in oil and wine and set him on his own beast and brought him to an inn, took care of him and paid money. It appeared to me like the first two people that came and saw this man, probably they were cash trapped. They didn't know what to do. There was no account that they were riding any beast. They were walking and trekking down that road. This one came from his beast, put him on the beast, took him to an inn, took care of him, paid the innkeeper or the hospital or whatever. If there is more to pay, when I come. You see, poverty can't make you do that. A young child testified the other day how they went to a new house fellowship. How many of you remember the story? A new host. And this host picked up this child to live with them in their house, sent the child to the higher quality of school
that his own child, the same daughter, the same age, is going, paying that child's school fees? That is scripture. Love your neighbor as yourself. Put your neighbor's child in the same quality of school you have put your child. You can never do that without resources. You can never do that without supplies. One day, an elderly man of God about age 80, I heard he was going for a program. And he said he was going to fly. He had to wake up in the morning around 5 a.m. so that he can catch airport by 7 a.m. in a very busy city in order to come for the program. And I said, why does he want to? Why would he do that? He said he had to wake up very early at that age. Oh, no. I told the man, I said, the person invited me, I said, how many of them are coming? He told me about 3 or 4 of them. I said, okay, have you bought a ticket yet? Yes, we have. I said, is the ticket changeable? He said, it's possible. I didn't tell him anything. On the day the man was to arrive, or before the man was to arrive, I said, okay, there will be a plane that will pick him up and drop him. Just honor him. And this man was shocked and surprised. He was not just picked from the airport. He was executively picked also, chauffeur driven from the airport here to that program where he was going. Because I felt like if somebody has labored up to that level and it is possible to help him in that way, it can be done. It's not, we don't have a relationship like father-son relationship, mentor, protege, no. But he's an elder. And he's, do you understand what I'm saying? There are things you cannot do if you are restricted by resources. Do you understand what I'm talking about? There are things you can't do for your neighbor. You cannot do for the people you need to if you are restricted. So this is very, very important. Number 3, financial dominion, which is stability, helps us to fulfill the dreams and visions that God has placed in our hearts. I'm going to repeat this in the next service. The dreams and the visions. There are dreams in your heart. There are visions in your heart. Ecclesiastes 10:19 said, a feast is made for laughter. Wine maketh merry, but money answereth all things. Money answereth. Money answereth. Money. Life can be full of questions, but money is full of answers in many realms. And so, you are able to have answers to the visions, the dreams that God has placed in your heart when resources is available. Number 4, financial dominion helps us to spread God's kingdom in the earth. We spread the kingdom in the earth. The Bible said in Zechariah chapter 1 and in verse 17, it said, cry out yet saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, my city's true prosperity shall yet be spread abroad. And the Lord shall yet comfort Zion and shall yet choose Jerusalem. The kingdom is spread in the earth by the means of resources. You can imagine us going all the way to Pakistan. I'd like you to just think about it. Think about the cost of flight. All technical staff went. That is, okay, that is the staff of media staff went.
Media, play out, mixers
and transmitters and all of them went. You can imagine that. Imagine the cost of being there. Imagine the crowd you saw there. Not one dime was taken as offering. Imagine we hosted ministers' conference, paid for it. Welfare distribution, both medical welfare and resources welfare. And not one dime was taken as offering. And you went there neatly, returned back tidily. It is not poverty that makes you move like that. The devil will want a poor church so that our outreaches can be stranded.
One pastor told me, he said, when you want to go to Central African Republic and South Sudan, please let me know, I would like to follow you. One pastor, a pastor of another ministry. So I said, you have a vision for that place? He said, yes. He has a vision for that place, but he has no resources to go. So let him follow us whenever we want to go. Do you understand what I'm talking about? The spirit is willing, but the pocket is unwilling. Are you following what I'm saying? That is why you will be very rich. Many of our people paid their way to go. People paying 1 point something million or something, I mean 2 million or something for air ticket. I know somebody who paid for himself and paid for another person to go to Pakistan. They paid their hotel bill and all of that to be there. In that climate of revival and that climate of, do you understand what I'm saying? That is why we must, the city is spread. And you must have the money and have plenty of it. Somebody say louder, amen. Number five, financial dominion helps us to build, helps in the building of God's sanctuaries in the earth. Spreading the kingdom is talking about evangelism. Building the sanctuaries is talking about physical constructions of the churches. In Psalm 132 and in verse 1 to verse 5, David was speaking, saying, Lord, remember David and all his afflictions, how he swore unto the Lord and vowed unto the mighty God of Jacob. Surely I will not come into the tabernacle of my house, nor go up into my bed. I will not give sleep to my eyes or slumber to my eyelids until I find out a place for the Lord, a habitation for the mighty God of Jacob. I want to build God a house. That was David. And David built God the house. 1 Chronicles chapter 29. If you read all the way from verse 1 to verse 5 to verse 6, David built God the house. We need that very, very importantly. Number 7, financial dominion helps us to serve as voices and forces for the kingdom in times of need. You stand as a voice, you stand as a force for the kingdom of God in the earth in times of need. We said that, I believe 2 or 3 Sundays ago. That was what Joseph of Arimathea was in Matthew 27:57. When the kingdom needed representation, a man of resources, a man of wealth, a rich man of Arimathea stood up. And because he had money, he had a voice. He had means, he had a voice. That voice could speak for the kingdom when there was a need. We need billionaires and millionaires in the kingdom who will rise to speak with authorities, who will rise to speak with institutions on the behalf of the kingdom in times of need. And poor people can't do that. You arrive, they say, what are you doing here? Who are you looking for? Is he a criminal? Police? Do you understand what I'm talking about? But authorities recognize authority. Finally, financial dominion serves to witness the goodness of God to the unbelieving world. To witness the goodness of God. Financial dominion, it will serve to witness the goodness of God to the unbelieving world. Our success is more evangelistic than our failure. In fact, failure has no evangelistic power. Nobody ever follows. You are so broke, can I follow you to church? Isaiah chapter 61 and in verse 9. He said, their seed shall be known among the Gentiles. That they will know them. And their offsprings among the people. All that see them shall acknowledge that these are the seed which the Lord has blessed. Look at these people. Look at these people. at their children. Look at themselves. Look at how flourishing they are. Look at how much they are shining. They are not stranded. They are not in lack. What is their secret? They have been blessed of the Lord. That will happen to somebody. Your family members who rejected you before today, very soon they will like to follow you to your God. If you are saying amen, say louder amen. Very soon they will follow you to your God. I've just been told that, just got to know that, I know we paid a lot of things, but payment for 700 buses in Pakistan to bring people from several places, not 100. Kaduna Crusade, we did 100. This is 700. That is almost making almost 1,000. And you went there and you took no offering. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Somebody say it louder, amen. Somebody say it loud, amen. Lift your right and say, in the name of Jesus, I refuse to be poor. In the name of Jesus, I reject scarcity. I reject empty-handedness. I must make the mark in my generation. I must make the mark in my generation. I must affect my world so I cannot be poor. Now, please, let's go beyond, and I want to... Oh, my God. I'm not sure if I can finish this thing today. All right, let's go. If we don't finish, I continue next Sunday. I want to take us to a level where I like us to understand that giving and tithing are scriptural. And they are very critical. Even though, like we said last Sunday, they are not compulsory, because God loved a cheerful giver. But they are critical. Giving and tithing are critical, but they are not enough to multiply your resources. It's a practice of the covenant. Opens the heaven over your life. Releases the blessing on what you sow. But there are secrets, scriptural secrets of multiplication. And I'm going to say two things before we go on to the points. First thing to know, note. Financial management is key to financial multiplication. If anything must multiply, it must be well managed. It was the management of 5 loaves and 2 fishes in John chapter 6 verse 9 all the way to verse 12. There is a lad here which has 5 barley loaves, 2 small fishes. But what are they among so many? Jesus said, make the men. That was where the management started from. Make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place. Those they sat down in number by 5,000. One other place said they sat down in companies. He took the loaves, gave thanks, distributed to the disciples. Not directly to the people. And then the disciples may have given it to the head of each of the team. There was such an order, which I'm going to come to, and such management until it multiplied. And at the end of the day, there was further management where there was a gathering of the fragments and nothing was wasted until 12 baskets were picked from the ground. Management is where most people have the challenge. Is God speaking to somebody here? Say loud, amen. Second thing I want you to note. There are good givers who are bad managers and end up in scarcity. It is possible to be a good giver, but be a bad manager. And the outcome is scarcity and shortage. Oh no, he knows, he has given his tithe.
He has paid his offering. But he's an extravagant, wasteful human being. Thinking that automatically I've given tithe, I've given offering, I've done this, I've done that. So money will just be falling down from heaven. It doesn't happen. God, and in the second service, I'm going to emphasize that God can never bless bad management. Never. Never. I think it was Proverbs chapter 18, verse 9, who said that he that is slothful in his work is the brother of him that is a great waster. God will never. Having said all of that, what are the good management tips or secrets that guarantee resources multiplication? Resources management secrets for resources multiplication. Resources management secret for resources multiplication. Number one, very simple, don't spend everything. Do not spend everything. Is wisdom and instruction number one. Proverbs chapter 20 verse 21. The Bible said, 21:20, there is treasure to be desired and oil in the dwelling of the wise. But the foolish man spendeth everything. Wise people put something aside. Wise people don't spend everything. Do not spend everything. Why? I am going to share these points in the services, so I'd like you to listen to the whole of this, of the two services, so you can get that. Number one, you put something aside to avoid the possibility of waste. When nothing is put aside, waste is a possibility. When everything you have is in your hand to spend, it is wasted and waste. It's wasteable. When the money is in your hand, has no assignment. And one of the assignments including that something is put aside, waste and poverty will be the outcome. Secondly, something is put aside for the purpose of multiplication. Multiplication here is talking about investments, which I'm going to come to now. You put something aside for the purpose of multiplying it. The money that enters your hand is twofold. A portion of it is bread. A portion of it is seed. Bread is what to eat. Seed is what to sow. Seed is what to invest. I'm going to come to that shortly. Somebody say loud amen. Do not spend everything. Somebody is saying, but what I have is not enough. Even for what I need to do. And you are saying I shouldn't spend everything. Yes. That leads you to the third principle, or the third thing to know. You put something aside as a faith action, that there will always be something to put aside. Even when you don't have, you see, faith is calling those things that be not as though they were. You don't have enough money yet. You have 10 naira, and your need is 11 naira. yet you put 1 naira aside. When this construction was about to be concluded, we had a reserve. And we had it, and we have had reserves from when church was starting. The first land we bought it from reserve. Even this land. Are you following what I'm saying here today? So, when it was time to dedicate the glory dome, there was so much money needed. And our accounts department said, let us pull the money out of the reserve. The money we had in the reserve is like 1/10 of what was needed to finish this and made it ready, to make it ready for dedication. And I told them, I said, that one will remain there. Let it remain there in that reserve. The one that will complete this for the dedication will come on his own. That is, there was need, yet the reserve was untouched. So it's not a matter of, I don't have enough. It's a faith principle. Calling those things that be not, was that not Romans 4:17 or so? Calling those things that be not as though they were so. It's a faith principle. That's right. That calling those things. That says, I am going to always have something to put aside. And you are doing, that is a principle. And as you start from where you are, all of a sudden, the time comes. Now, I am going to tell you shortly what to do with what you are putting aside. I'm going to tell you that. Now, number two, so don't spend everything. Number two, be investment minded, not expenditure minded. Be investment minded. Listen to this. The ultimate purpose of money is not expenditure but investment. Ultimate. Be investment minded. Let your mind be in investment. Second thought I want to leave is connected with the first. Be investment minded. Second thing to know is that God gives bread to eaters, but he gives seed to sowers. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9 verse 10. Now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food and multiply seed sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness. So when you have sown seed, the seed will return back. What you have sown will return in form of bread and seed. Bread is what to eat. Seed is what to sow. Seed is what to invest. Bread is what to spend. Seed is what to plant. Don't sleep here. What I'm to sleep is poverty worrying you now. Poverty. What I'm saying now, if you are sleeping in it, that is your own. Prayer cannot rescue you. For somebody to be sleeping in what will save your life. Do you understand what I'm saying? When money hits your hand, the first thing to think is not what to buy. It's how can this multiply? Just run with this one point and you have run off from the tragedy of scarcity. Poverty is a mentality. And prosperity is a mentality. Poor people are always looking for what to buy. Rich people are always looking for where to multiply the money. I break every poverty mentality in the name of Jesus. Now, I shared this story with you before in Genesis chapter 47. When there was scarcity in the land of Egypt. If we start from verse 15, maybe. And when money failed in the land of Egypt, and in the land of Canaan, all the Egyptians came unto Joseph and said, "Give us bread. For why should we die in your presence? For the money faileth." And Joseph said, "Give me your cattle, and I will give you for your cattle if money fail." And they brought their cattle unto Joseph, and Joseph gave them bread in exchange for horses, and for flocks, and for the cattle of the herds, and for the asses. And he fed them with bread for all their cattle for that year. He fed them with bread. Keep going. And when that year was ended, they came unto him the second year and said unto him, "We will not hide it from my Lord, how that our money is spent. My Lord also has our heads of cattle. There is nothing left in the sight of my Lord but our bodies and our lands. Where shall we die before thine eyes, both we and our land? Buy us and our land for bread. And we and our land will be servants unto Pharaoh." Before now, they have been asking for bread. But see what they are asking now. "And give us seed, that we may live and not die, and that the land be not desolate." And Joseph bought all the land of Egypt for Pharaoh. For the Egyptians sold every man his field, because the famine prevailed over them. So the land became Pharaoh's. And as for the people, he removed them to the cities from one end of the borders of Egypt to the other end thereof. Alright, keep going. Then Joseph said unto them, "Behold, I have bought you this day for your land for Pharaoh. I have purchased you. Lo, here is bread." Is that what he said? "Take seed so you can go and eat." No. "And you shall sow the land. And it shall come to pass in the increase. Give a fifth," that's 20% to Pharaoh. That's like your tax. "And four parts, 80% shall be yours." And that 80% is not for you to eat. That 80%, after you have given Pharaoh his portion, that is the tax. The next one is take out of that seed for your field. So that the harvest that you got, the income that came, after you have done your obligations, whether it's tithe or tax, the first thing that comes to your mind is not what to buy, it's what to reinvest. Four parts shall be your own. Then you sow it as seed for the field. Before you now think of food, and for them of your household, and food for your little ones. If you read this passage, and do you want to see here what it said? And they said, "You have saved our lives. Let us find grace in thy sight, and my Lord, and we'll be Pharaoh's servant." You have finally saved our lives. All this while we have been coming to ask you to give us to eat. Now you have finally taught us how to survive. Not just to eat, but what to plant. That is invest. And after we have done the investment, you also told us, you taught us management. What to do with the returns. You are saying to us, when the returns hit your hand, and you have done your obligations, the first thing to do again is to return back to the planting, to the investment. If anybody heard anything today, I can drop the microphone now. This is from the Bible, not Harvard. I hear what I'm saying here today. Somebody wake up and say, "I just got 2 million. Praise the Lord. How much is this car? 1.1 million 950.
He bought a car of 1.950. The balance in his pocket is 50,000. That is, he used 99% of what you got to buy bread. What to consume. Not what will bring money. What wisdom is this? Do you understand what I'm talking about? I just got 100,000 and I borrowed 20,000 to add to buy a phone. Except if that phone was for business. And you're not even meant to borrow. Whether maybe you're using that phone for online or whatever business. Otherwise, like a new Pidgin English Bible said, now so your mumu rich. Pidgin English Bible. Read it. First, Galatians. Now start with the Holy Spirit. But now, when I won't finish the work with human being power. See the rich. I hear what I'm saying here today. So this is, if you can understand this and just correct your mind, then the journey is literally over. Don't spend everything. Be investment minded. I just showed you, for as long as Israel was looking for bread to eat, the struggle continued. But when they got seed to sow, the struggle ended. As long as they looked for bread to eat, the struggle continued. But when they found seed and they understood seed principle, the struggle ended. Number three. Maybe I'll stop with number three today because of time. Number three says maintain financial order. Order. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and in verse 40. We looked at this, a portion of this in the midweek service, and you can listen to it. Let everything be done decently and in order. Everything, including your finances, decently and in order. Maintain financial order. What do I tell you about order? I want you to note two things. One will be a thought and the other will be a definition. First, order brings wonder. And disorder brings disaster. Order brings wonder. Show me where you see order. There, you will see wonder. Order brings wonder. Disorder brings disaster. Second will be the definition of order. Now, why do I say order brings wonder? In the wedding in Cana of Galilee, in Mark chapter 6 verse 39, not wedding, at the multiplication of the bread, Mark 6 39. And he commanded them to make all sit down by companies upon the green grass. And they sat down in ranks by hundreds and by fifties. And when he had taken the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, he looked up to heaven and blessed and broke the bread. He made them sit in companies and gave them to disciples to set before them. And the 2 fishes divided he among them all. And they did all eat and were filled. And they took up 12 baskets full of the fragments and of the fishes. Now, see the order and see the wonder. Human order will produce divine wonders anywhere God finds order, he releases wonders. Secondly, order is putting things in their correct and appropriate place. Is that what I said? Okay. That is what this service wants. It's putting things in their correct and appropriate places. Appropriate place. That's dictionary definition.
Let me give you an example of, I preached on financial order to Kingdom Financial Stewards meeting. You can, that was a whole message, so you can look for it and listen to the whole message. But this is it. This 100,000 entered my hand this month. How much is my tithe? This is it. What person, and then other covenant practices? Free will giving, less privileged. Any other giving towards evangelism, towards church planting? All these are percentaged. That's what I do. My giving to my prophet, touching my life, impacting me. The prophet didn't ask me for it. The prophet didn't force me to do it. The prophet didn't push me to do it. I found it necessary. I'm saying that so that nobody in the name of prophets or priests giving forces you and puts you under pressure of giving. Or directly or indirectly suggest it. Alright. After this is my percentaging. Maybe I don't know what is left, what I have. Maybe 60%, maybe 70%. Am I communicating at all? And I can say, let me put this percentage aside as is, like I shared in the first, put something aside. And let me just release this for multiplication. All is percentaged. It's ordered. Now, the reason why this is very important is such that somebody has a need in your family that needs assistance. What we normally do, what we'll do at times, is that the money that you have set aside for this and for that, you use all of it to handle one thing. Somebody say, but if I have all that is left is 20,000 to meet the needs of people, and people come with a need that is 100,000. What will I do? Well, you make your cloth according to your size. In fact, according to your material. Because if the cloth is too costly and your size is not that slim like my own, then you can buy material that is less in price. Am I communicating at all? I told somebody, I said, so this percentage is what you that is needed to meet people's need. You allocate it for the need. Somebody says, I have a need of 1 million. Can you borrow me 1 million? And I cannot borrow you 1 million. But I can give you 10,000 free of charge. Maybe I can also give you 100,000 that you may not return. Or that you may. So I said, okay, take this 100,000. I don't have the 1 million. But may God use this to multiply, to bring money into your hands. I drop it into your hands. Don't bother returning this one. That is far better than putting your life under pressure to collapse everything that is meant for something else to meet one person's need. Both you are stranded and other people's needs are stranded. And I told people, I said, these people that you are trying to kill yourself for a time for meeting their need, before you had money, they were meeting their need. Oh. A And by the time you don't have money anymore, you will realize that they didn't die. You will realize that they didn't die. They will still be surviving. But if you order your resources and the resources explode, then you can meet money. Then the person you gave 100,000 today, you may be able to give him 1,000,000 tomorrow. Am I communicating at all? But they should allow your resources to breathe. They should allow it to explode. Somebody say explode. They should allow your resources to explode. They should allow your resources. They should delay their gratification. They should learn the discipline of waiting patiently small for you. Even yourself, don't be in a hurry to show up. To show off. I have so much to say, but we'll continue next Sunday. This is practical, so that you don't curse God. I pay my tithe, I pay my offering, and nothing is working. No. God says you are too wasteful. You are too unwise. Let me not use stupid. You are too unwise. You lack discretion. People are wondering how churches are running like this. Management. Under all economies. Any church where God can trust the man with the resources, he will entrust him with massive resources and nothing shall miss. Are you hearing what I'm saying here today? You can have a covenant. We live in faith is running two universities. No ASUU strike. They can run more if they want. Effortlessly. You enter today, you know when to graduate. Thousands of employees. What is that? Management. Hallelujah. Somebody is exploding. So please give your resources chance to explode. Give it chance to multiply. God is going to entrust things into your hands massively. But you must make sure you give it chance to multiply. Stand up on your feet, somebody. Stand up on your feet. Give the Lord the praise. 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 In the second service, I'm going to talk to a lot in this regard where it comes to order to business people. Some business people just finish themselves. The same money that you are taking to invest as capital is the same money you are taking to eat food in the house. It's from the same account. You are taking money. No. That's too much confusion. Let your life be an entity. Let the business be an entity. We'll talk about that in the second service in detail on this matter of order. If you do it, you will be shocked at what will happen to your resources. I told a young man, I said, place yourself on salary. The business money is not your money. I was growing up having a lot of resources. He said, that thing you spoke to me changed my life. He's managing billions now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's a new day. Would you lift up your hands and give the Lord the praise? Give the Lord the honor. Give the Lord the adoration. Worshiping. Father, thank you. Father, thank you. Adonai, thank you. I've given 3 points out of 7 that I was meant to give in the service, but we'll continue with it in the coming Sunday. Lift your hands and worship him. Honor him. Adore him. Magnify him. Father, thank you. Adonai, thank you. Elion, thank you. Blessed be your name. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. And I'm